Big win for the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday afternoon. They beat the Orioles, their hated rivals, as of recently, 6-1 on the back of Ross, the arm of Ross Stripling, who was absolutely exceptional. George Springer pinch hits, big RBI, he scores a run, goes crazy. The Jays with a huge rally in the seventh inning, and that sets the table for a big four-game set against the Yankees, which starts tonight in the Bronx. To get into that, it's our man Steve Phillips, our baseball insider. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So let's go back to yesterday before we look ahead to the four-game set against the Yanks. And Ross Stripling, I don't think we can really understate just how important that performance was. Coming off the injured list, we weren't really sure what he was going to be able to provide. Try to put into context just how impressive Stripling's performance was yesterday, Steve.
Oh, huge. I mean, it was a huge performance. They needed it. I mean, the way the Jays have been playing, the lack of offensive production, they needed a stopper, right? They needed somebody to go out there and just shut down the opposition. And he did that. Coming off the IL and going 6 3rd innings, just really very efficient. 7 strikeouts, no walks, the 1 hit. I mean, really an outstanding effort on his part when they needed it the most. And he's done that during the course of the year. He's really impressed me this season with how he's performed. But what it also does is it now puts him in a position to take back his spot in the rotation. Mitchell White now is in a position maybe to move into Yusei Kikuchi's spot in the rotation. And maybe what they do is they piggyback Kikuchi on the back end of White. If he ends up with any struggles, then you take a shot with bringing Kikuchi in out of the bullpen. Where a lot of times what happens when pitchers go to the bullpen, they get a different mentality. They think, okay, I'm a reliever. I need to pound the strike zone. I need to be more aggressive. I need to be more conscious of not using all my pitches, but just using the pitches that I do use aggressively. And maybe it can get him back on track too. So I think it's great for what he did yesterday. And I'm with you on the Springer party yesterday too. That at bat, you know, the RBI single, then scoring on the Espinal double, and the celebration afterwards unleashed the energy that just has been lacking in this team. And so he's so important to their offense. So it was a really good win yesterday. By the way, with some energy momentum going to the Yankees, but the Yankees, they too had the big walk-off win yesterday. Grand slam by Josh Donaldson after they had given up 3 runs in the top of the 10th inning to come back with the grand slam to win it. So you've got 2 teams who have been struggling, 2 teams coming off with big wins, and I think it's going to be a really intriguing series.
The world is a little upside down to me, Steve. Because here we are in mid to late August. A Jays Baltimore game has the kind of significance that we're placing on it today. And suddenly a Jays Yankees series is like unknown versus unknown, slumping team versus slumping team. The world's a bit upside down right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the Yankees, who were nearly perfect all season long, started to get their injuries and some key pieces, and now, they also put Holmes, Clay Holmes, who's been, they're such a, the best, most effective reliever who took over the closer's role for Chapman. He now goes on the injured list with back spasms. And so, it's interesting, and I write this a lot and say it a lot, but it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And, right now, you look at the stands and you think, geez, I wouldn't want to play the Yankees, but now knowing who this Yankee team is right now, that's depleted, undermanned, injured, this is the time to get them. Now, by the same token, the Yankees might look at it and say, the Jays are a really good team, these up and young coming kids, but they've not been playing well, and they've not been hitting as a team. And so maybe this is the time to play them. It's going to be interesting to see whose momentum is more real coming into this. And I think the Springer part of the Blue Jays, he's the most important offensive player on their team. Like that, Vlad's great. We get it. Teoscar Hernandez can have spurts of greatness. So can Bichette. But Springer's the catalyst. He's the energy. He's the engine that gets them going. And so I think it's important to have him in the lineup, to have him healthy, productive. I think it's going to be a great series.
Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst, our guest here on First Up, Aaron Kurolnik, Steve Simmons with you. Let's go back to Yusei Kikuchi, who was demoted to the bullpen yesterday. And John Schneider, the manager of the Jays, says that Kikuchi can contribute valuable innings to the team down the stretch. Is that just semantics, or do you actually believe that they could put Kikuchi into a high leverage spot as soon as this weekend against the Yankees?
So I look, it's what you say when you make the move, and then you hold your breath and pray that you're right. But, I mean, you can look with Kikuchi, you can close your eyes and dream. I mean, he's got good stuff. And so, you know, and when a guy's got stuff and then he shows it to you at times in games, it's now up to the staff and the player to try to figure out how to get it on a more consistent basis, because there are, you know, the difference between the big leagues and the minor leagues isn't the quality of stuff. It's the consistency of the quality of the stuff and the ability to use it and manipulate it. So Kikuchi has all the potential to be really good. And, you know, my sense is that, you know, like I said earlier, that there's a belief that if they put him in the pen, maybe he can start to get more aggressive with his stuff. But I think he's going to be a multiple inning guy, you know, where as opposed to, so I think he's more of a, you know, come in the fourth inning if somebody's struggling and get us to the seventh, and hold the deficit or hold the tie or even hold the lead to where, you know, the high leverage relievers can come in. So I think he's a bridge to the high leverage pitchers. And I think that, you know, he could come out of it with some wins, because there's, you know, that guy who can hold the deficit, is critical, because, you know, the best bullpens don't just hold leads. They hold deficits, because you hold the deficit, let your good offense start to come back late in the game. You get comeback wins. And so, you know, it's going to be critical to have somebody in that role. I like the idea to have a left-hander in that role with all right-handers in your rotation. And so I think it could be a valuable position on this roster. The question is, can he get himself back on track again and stop competing against himself and start competing against the opposition?
We see this with general managers all the time, Steve, and you were certainly in that position. You see a guy in another team who's not doing well, and you look and you think, if I get that guy, I can change him. If you look at Kikuchi's numbers from Seattle last season, they're pretty close to terrible. And you look at Kikuchi's numbers this season in Toronto, and they're pretty close to terrible. So what did they see, or what did the scouts see, that convinced them that he was someone worth investing in?
Yeah, right. So what they see is the quality of his stuff. Then they see the usage of his stuff, and, you know, that he nibbled around the corners. Then you do some due diligence, and what they heard was that he did not connect with the coaching staff in Seattle, and that you know, he didn't really able to buy into what they were trying to get him to do. And so there's a belief that because they've done this before with Jays, look at Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray wasn't Robbie Ray before he was a Blue Jay. I mean, you know, he went on to be a Cy Young Award winner. He was a guy with a really good arm that everybody thought, let's get our hands on him, and we'll try to get him in the strike zone. We'll try to, you know, fine-tune his mechanics. We'll try to, you know, get his right mentality about how he's supposed to use his stuff. You look at Tyler Anderson for the Dodgers this year. I mean, this is a guy who's bounced around. He's okay. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. I mean, he's dominating for the Dodgers this year. Andrew Heaney was a guy that went to the Angels. Then the Yankees thought, oh, let's try to get him last year. He didn't get any better there, but he was the analytics darling. Everybody wanted him this offseason because they thought that his stuff was there, and if they changed the sequencing of his pitches, then they changed maybe the shape of his slider, and they can get him then to be more effective early in the count, they could turn him around. And when he pitched well for the Dodgers, early in the year, he pitched great. And so Kikuchi's that kind of guy. He was one of those analytics darlings coming out because he showed flashes early in the year last year, and then he sort of lost the strike zone a bit. So, yeah, you know, it's that mentality. And you're 100% right, Steve, that you know, what we do is we all think that we'll fix the guy on the other team. We all think that, well, I know that they haven't been able to do it, but we'll find a way to do it. Sometimes you're right. And in this analytics world, teams have been right more frequently than they used to be. But you know, even when you do that, it could be a crapshoot. And right now, it seems like maybe they're losing in that battle with Kikuchi.
Steve Phillips, our guest here on First Up. The Texas Rangers, they fired their president of baseball operations yesterday, John Daniels, a man I imagine you're quite familiar with from your time in Major League Baseball, Steve. And think about, and they also fired their manager, Chris Woodward, someone we know in Toronto, former Jay. They spent $556 million this offseason. Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, John Gray, they basically, I guess Chris Young, now the general manager and now the acting president of baseball operations. But when you spend $556 million on three players. You get the results the Rangers did. They're blowing everybody out. What's the state of the Texas Rangers right now?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, they spent that money, but they added a number three starter and then two big bats in the middle of the lineup and infielders and, you know, and building the team up the middle. But nobody thought they were a playoff team this year. Nobody thought they were going to be better than maybe a third-place team. I think a fourth-place team, probably. Most everybody had the Astros, the Mariners, and the Angels better than the Rangers this year starting the season. So, you know, the idea that ownership has been surprised by the record, it seems odd to me because who thought they were going to be better than this? They don't have any pitching. My belief is that there was some concern that somebody might try to get Chris Young become their president of baseball operations. And I think that within the ownership group there, they thought, look, John Daniels has been here for a long time. He's had success. They went to the playoffs five times, went to the World Series twice. Maybe this is the time for the transition, because if we don't make it now, we're going to lose the guy we'd really like to see oversee the future of our franchise, which is Chris Young. So I think a lot goes into these decisions. I find it interesting that they let John Daniels fire the manager one day, and then the next day they drop the bomb on him. And I also find it interesting that rather than just not picking up his contract extending his contract, they decided to let him go. Now, maybe that's for him so that he can get out and try to find another opportunity and the timing and make that work. But it seemed aggressive. And so I'm hoping that it's about, you know, John Daniels and doing, you know, what's best for him to let him be able to be available now when teams are going to start to look to replace people rather than, you know, feel like it needed to be more aggressive than that, because he could have been there in the transition, still knowing he wasn't going to get the contract removed. But they've got talent there. They do. And they've got some pitchers coming. Remember, they got Jack Leiter, Al Leiter's son. They got Kumar Rocker, a teammate of him in Vanderbilt. They've got Cole Wynn, a young pitcher starting to come. So they've got some guys on the way, and they need it in the pitching area, and that's where they have it. But, I was a little surprised only in that, you know, nobody thought they were going to win this year. And so I'm a little surprised the owner thought that they should have a better record.
Steve, thank you for doing this. Jays and Yankees from the Bronx, four games. I know you'll be all over for TSN, TSN.ca, TSN 1050, and we look forward to your contributions. Thank you for doing this.
For sure. Got a big Aaron Judge piece coming out today. Ooh. On SportsCenter and on .ca.
All right. We'll be keeping our eyes out for that. Have a great day, Steve.
All right. See you guys. Right.
Steve Phillips, Aaron Judge.
There's your MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you wait and see, where are the teams going to finish? Who's going to finish where? This is one of those slam dunk, so obvious MVP, there's nobody else.
Well, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, here's the thing, and the word valuable, okay, Shohei Ohtani is the most outstanding player in baseball, there's no doubt about it.
Yes.
If the award was a CFL-used award,
the
most outstanding player, yes. Shohei Ohtani, without a shadow of a doubt, is the most outstanding player, and assuming he doesn't get hurt every year, he wins it. Until he retires, because what he does is unique and no one else has done it since Babe Ruth. So they're alone. But as far as the Angels are awful, that's no fault of Shohei Ohtani's. He couldn't possibly be playing any better. But just what Judge has done, he's on pace for 63-64 home runs, and the Yankees, I mean, were on pace for an amazing year. Now they'll be good, but I agree with you. Judge will win the MVP.
Oh, and I think it's going to be one of those, you know, unanimous type votes. You know, it's going to be close to that. What I loved about Judge is every time you say, okay, he's going to slump now. No, he's not. He's going to slump this week. No, he's not. He just seems to have every night brought it. And you know, for a slugger, that's a hard thing to do. Because usually, you know, it's like goal scorers. Goal scorers tend to score in bunches.
And teams adjust to it. Yeah. We think that, hey, maybe let's not pitch to Aaron Judge. He'll probably take us deep.
Every time I watch him, and maybe it's just accidental, but every single time I put the Yankees on, he's hitting a home run.
Well, I mean, he's done it 46, 47 times this year already. I imagine a couple more times this weekend, probably against Jose Berríos tonight. Who are you kidding? I might want to pitch around him, Jose. It might be a good decision. So we'll get him back. We'll get back into the latest on Deshaun Watson. We have Ed Werder joining us at 8:30. From ESPN, who I know is dialed in the situation. Sounds like there could be a resolution, and not from the Roger Goodell designee. What can we expect? We'll get into it next.